Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
Thanks for joining us today on the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Samantha.
And I'm Nicole.
And today we have Dana Malstaff joining us. I'm so excited.
Yay! Jazz hands.
Jazz spear fingers.
So, Dana, we like to get all of our interviews started with, what was your kickstart moment?
My kickstart moment. Oh, gosh. I think that depends. I have two. Can I give two?
Yes,
you can give
two. Two kind of aha moments. One was quitting my job, actually kind of like getting pushed out of my job, right? We're like, we got fired. I basically was going to get fired and I gave them the, oh, I realize you guys are moving all of these people out, so how about I just resign? Was gonna quit, came to my last day, and got knocked up, like basically in celebration. My son is the result of a celebratory quitting of the job. So yes, yeah, so that's that's fun. So my first one was becoming an entrepreneur and a parent at the same time, because little did I know it, but that struggle of doing those two things would become the Boss Mom brand, which is, you know, I've had several businesses that didn't work, and this was the one that just has gone crazy. So that was the moment, even though I don't think I really recognized that it was the moment at the time. The big business catalyst, like aha moment kind of thing I had was when I went to a actually really bad conference with a good friend, and she and this guy got up. We were like talking about leaving. We're like, we've got to leave. The whole thing was sales. Everybody was selling everything. And this one guy got up and he just said, you have to, you know, as entrepreneurs, we do a lot of things that we're kind of good at. What you have to hone in on is the thing that comes easiest to you. And I was like, oh, that's really profound. I like it. And so we left the conference early because the rest of the conference continued to suck. And we said, well, let's just take a half day before anybody's expecting us to go back. And let's just like, let's go to a coffee shop and we'll hash it out. And so I was like, well, let's start with you and my friend. And we were walking through these things. And that's when she stopped me midway through. And she's like, Dana, like, talk about what comes easiest to you. Like this, you're helping me brainstorm exactly what my business strategy should be, how I'm incorporating coursework and how I'm building the community, doing all these things and how it all fits together. Like, that's your space. And you're literally just breathing through it. Why are you doing this other thing? And the whole ride home, I was like, why am I doing this other thing? Because I thought I was passionate about it, but it's really hard and it's not kind of working the way I wanted. That night I got on the Savvy Business Owners group actually and said, hey, I'm going to just test out this thing and I need three people to test it out. And I had like six people say yes within an hour. And I had started my business strategy business. And that's like almost 2 years ago now. And then Boss Mom was kind of born from that. But yeah, so that was a massive aha, like, wow, totally changed everything for me. It was having a baby and a business at the same time and then actually recognizing you should do what you're good at. Seems obvious. But most of us don't actually do it. So it's one of those funny things.
Okay, so I know you fairly well. I mean, I've been in the academy I'm in the second 6 month session now. So we've been working together for a little while. But I'm curious to know, what were you doing when you had this aha moment and made the pivot to strategy?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me about the first aha moment. And I was like, man, that's pretty obvious.
No, I know what you were doing.
I was like, I didn't know this is that kind of podcast. what was I doing in my business before? So when I, back in corporate America, back in the day, I used to run health improvement programs. I used to build them. So like I built diabetes management programs, tobacco cessation programs, walking programs. I used to, you know, use my journalism, broadcast journalism degree, and I would record, you know, program, like actually record health programs for people and for big organizations, you know, through the company that I worked with. And I had a team, and that was our job, was to actually figure out how do we get people to be healthier, how do we do it in a way that fits into insurance, all this kind of stuff. And so one of the things that I really loved and got super into was behavioral psychology, was just how relationships work, how communications work, you know, how we connect with each other. You know, I was relatively newly married at the time. And so this idea of communicating with my spouse was when him and I are very, like, I'm an extrovert, he's an introvert. We don't argue the same way. Like, I want to finish an argument while we're having the argument and he wants to go off and think about it. And so I was going through all that sort of like, how do you communicate with people? And I was in a position where I was in a director level and, you know, it was hard because I was a 27-year-old woman who, you know, liked to wear dresses. And like, it was just a very interesting time in my life. And so thinking about behavioral psychology, I got super into it. And so when I quit my job, what I wanted to do was mindful communication coaching. Like, I wanted to help people have better relationships. And I was really passionate about that. And so that's what I was doing. And I was getting some momentum. I was on some podcasts. But honestly, it was one of those things where, you know, I can talk the talk about it. But when it came to that, those like clarity sessions, like everybody does in their business about what are you, you know, what is your package going to be? How are you going to help people? How are you going to get people involved in it? Like, what's your movement going to be? It was really hard for me to hone in on that. And I think that's where I kept getting stuck. Like, I couldn't get the kind of clarity that I really wanted. And then when it happened that I decided to go to strategy, all of a sudden it was like clarity was easy. Like, I was just getting the clarity. And then when I came out with the Boss Mom book and we started the Boss Mom movement, it was like massive clarity. Like, I didn't even, like, the brainstorming sessions were like, yeah, this is what I stand for. This is what I care about. This is what I want. These are the people I want in the community. These are the people I want to work with. And all of those things. So for me, it's almost a really good indicator. If you can't find clarity, then maybe you're focusing on the wrong thing. Like, if you can't seem to decide on exactly what you want to stand for, what you care about, and what the people you want to work with and how it's all going to be structured, if that continually comes up as being an issue for you, then maybe you're like me and you just started out in the wrong place and you need to figure out what you're actually good at.
Oh my gosh, that's fabulous. So I feel like you've still taken a bit of that mindful communication coaching.
Yeah. And
it's still a part of the strategy that
very much
you're working on. It still plays into what you're doing. It's just not the thing that you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I that's one of the things that I love. And so Pat Flynn had asked a bunch of entrepreneurs, I got to be one of them to do, you know, he rounded up like 15 people to talk about, like, give their big lessons learned. And that is one of the things that I talked about, is that when you follow your gift first, then you find ways to infuse your passions into that. When you follow your passions first and ignore your gifts, it's an uphill battle. And so I did find that. I use, you know, I reference my, you know, the five love languages for business all the time. Like, when I'm on coaching calls, I'm not just seeing how can I, you know, help you grow your business. I'm trying to figure out how do you feel loved? Like, how do I need to communicate to you in a way that's going to make you feel valued? Because my job isn't just to deliver information to you. It's to build a relationship with you. So there's trust. So there's vulnerability. So that there's, when something crappy happens and I have a kid sick for a week, you still want to hang out with me and pay me to help you, because loyalty is important. I mean, and that's the thing is me being able to infuse this communication aspect in what I do and what all of us do is kind of one of the most vital things, because loyalty nowadays is really hard to come by. Like, we are maybe loyal for certain stints, but it takes real connection for us to, you know, jump in front of a car for each other. And there's a lot of times when we're moms and we're entrepreneurs and we've got a lot going on where we need extra support. And so making sure you're communicating really clearly and making sure that you're mindful about other people and how they feel valued and how to relay that in the way that you talk to people, about how to read intent, assuming positive intent when you're connecting with people. Those kinds of things are, in my opinion, part of why the Boss Mom brand has gone so well and I'm able to make connections with people, is because I'm actually mindful about creating connections with people and listening to people and getting to know people and understanding people. I'm not an expert at it. I screw up all the time, but it's a continuing effort.
It sounds like you just have this really good sense of how to actually listen through the words with people and kind of get to the core of what they're actually wanting and needing and how they're how they're actually wanting to show up before they even get there themselves. And that's why this Boss Mom movement has been so successful, because you not just only listen to what they want, but you go deeper than that. And that's amazing.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I got a journalism degree, so people often joke I paid a crap load of money to learn how to listen to people. So that's definitely helpful. I also think too, for me, the community is, I love brainstorming. Like, I'm a brainstorming addict. Like, let's pound out ideas. Like, let's think of things. Let's, you know, concoct new ways to do things. Like, my husband and I are constantly being like, ooh, what if we did a business for this? Or, ooh, what if we rewrite lyrics to songs? Like, I love new ideas. I'm a new idea person. And that's a lot of what I hear people love so much about the community, that's different than just other mom entrepreneur support groups, is it's not just about support. It's about, let's come up with ideas together and then let's help make those ideas happen. And I think that's part of that listening, is people saying, hey, I've got something I need help with, and everybody coming in and being like, okay, let's talk it through. And you have to really learn to listen in order to brainstorm. Otherwise, it's just me talking. Brainstorming has to be collaborative. And so you got to train yourself to stop for a minute. And I'm a talker, ladies. I don't know if you knew this or not. I'm a fan of talking. So it's a constant practice to be like, okay, shut up, Dana. Make sure you're actually listening to people. So when I'm on calls, like when I'm talking to people about coming to the academy, I have to like stop myself and be like, you want to say something, but what you're going to do next is you're going to ask another question. And I have to like force myself to do that, because a lot of times we ask the one question and then we want to answer their question with advice. And it's like, I need to ask the second question, because the second, third, and fourth question are the ones that actually get them to their aha moment. And their aha moment is way more important than me giving some random advice.
Yeah. And you don't want to stack the questions either, because then they get confused as to what you're actually asking them. I've done that before. But it's also, what's different about the Boss Mom Academy, and even though I'm not a part of it, Sam's kind of given me little tidbits, you know, now and then of the things that have come out of it, is you're really big on moving the action forward. And that's way different than some other groups as well, because some groups, it's just about talking about what's going on and not actually figuring out how to get them from point A to point B. And you are really good at that as well. I've listened to your podcast as well. And even in those aspects, you give like little tidbits on how to do that in your everyday life.
Yes. That's a bummer if there are other groups that aren't actually helping you to move forward. Isn't that the point?
I feel like there's two different types of groups. And this is one of the things that stands out to me for the Academy speaking as somebody on the inside, is there are groups that give you a lot of aha moments and clarity, but not the next steps on how to implement and move forward, not the actions needed. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the bridge that comes in with the Academy. The Academy gives you those next steps and the action items and the accountability to actually complete them. So I feel like it's not just giving you the ahas and the, ooh, I need to do this, and leaving you at, okay, I need to, but how do I? You actually provide the how, and now go do it.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Samantha. That sounds, my program sounds great. yeah, no, well, I mean, here's the problem. This is the thing. We're all smart people. I mean, we all get up in the morning and we say we're overwhelmed and everything like that, but that's just because we have so many ideas. We have so many things we want to work on. We have so many cool things we could be doing, enjoy doing, or maybe good at. So that's not the problem. The problem is organizing it all. I get emails about this all the time. So it's not like I just think this is the problem. Like, I know for a fact, women tell me all the time, I don't know what to organize. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do first. Once I do that first, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what a plan is. And what's interesting is I in the beginning of me starting to coach, I was like, well, I'm just going to give them the full plan. Like, it's going to be these crazy, amazing, everything you do every day for the next year. And then you just do that. And that's also not how it works either, because we all are morphing and changing, and your aha moment today is sometimes leads to the aha moment tomorrow that changes things up. And so the way I work, you know, when I'm talking to people, is we talk about three things and we're going to work on those three things. And when we've tackled those, I will tell you the three next things, because I've tried to give the whole project, and that's what's overwhelming, is we overwhelm ourselves with how much we can do. And we have to stop ourselves for a moment and be like, look, like, I recognize that I have on my to-do list to write a book, but gosh, maybe I should break this down and just say, I'm going to go to the library and look at book covers and pick out ones I really like to dream up about what this could be like to help motivate me to start writing 500 words a day. You know, I mean, Hal Elrod from The Miracle Morning, I'm friends with him, and he always says that he made the cover to his book like 2 years before he actually wrote the book. And I use that, and I had our cover designed before I wrote the book, like to give you motivation. So I find it's not that, you know, like the aha moments are great, but the biggest problem we have is we just don't know what to do. We don't know what to do next. So it's like, I want to create an environment where I can be helpful with that, because I know that's a problem. And I know I get that problem sometimes. And that's the thing. It's like, you, there's nothing worse than knowing you're capable, knowing you want to do it, and knowing you are willing to like put yourself out there and get it done. And then feeling like you're not moving forward because you're just not sure which step to take first. That's just a space I don't want us to all be in. So yes, I'm an action oriented kind of lady.
You know, I love the reference of the book, because I feel like what you said in there too, and you didn't say this outright, but the implication in there was finding the steps that almost motivate you to the next steps. So like you talked about creating the book cover because it motivated him to write the book, or you to write your book. And for me, my book, I got motivated to actually move forward with it. I think I've had the dream for about a year. It didn't come to the point of being pushed forward and actually getting people in on the project until I determined what the book title was going to be. And that was my motivation to, okay, I've got the book title. I have no excuse now. I have to move forward. And that was my little push. So I think it's great to break it down too, because I think while we all have the big picture and it's good to know the big picture, having all the steps from A to the finish line, it's like having a long to-do list. And then you're going to feel like you never accomplish anything. So I love breaking it down into the smaller steps of, I'm going to do this part right now, and then next I'll move on to the other steps.
Love it. And I talk about, we have a course on like how building your business plan and everything. And we talk about milestones in those two ways. When you're building out a project, you've got your milestones that are your sort of prerequisite milestones, you know, where, okay, great. You need to get these things done. Like you need to know your branding before you build your website is probably a smart thing to go, right? Like you need to know what kind of courses you're going to create before you actually create a course. So there's just some prerequisite milestones. But then there's the motivational milestones, or the other ones that are like, I'm going to want to keep going when this happens. Like when my website's done, that's a very motivational milestone. Like, let's go out and celebrate a little bit, because now I can see it happen. Like I can see it in front of me. And now I'm much more excited about doing these other things. So I like setting both, because they're both kind of necessary, because there's a lot going on and life is hard. Especially as mom entrepreneurs, I find. When you're super successful and you wake up some morning and you're like, what the hell am I doing?
I like to call those the fat baby wins, the FBWs, just because when you're thinking about big picture stuff, sometimes, and I'm not saying this from a place of like, because I think, I just like you said, I know that this happens. People have a really hard time celebrating just the small steps that they've been able to accomplish to get to their bigger dream. So if you turn around every day and celebrate one fat baby win, it's going to then be that motivating factor to get you to go to the next motivating factor.
Okay, why is it a fat baby win?
Because fat babies are just really cute.
I love it.
They're small. They're small, but they're still big. Like fat babies. They're really small, but they're still big. So
my son was like, I think the largest child that ever existed. I mean, I know that's not true, but I think it wasn't that he was the most heavy, but it was just like he was a circle. Like I birthed the circle.
Did he come out with the little rolls?
Oh no. Like I will send you a picture. We have a picture when he's 3 months old and he's sitting in like a glass bowl that was a family bowl, and he's got this tiny scarf and you can barely see his hands and his feet. It's hilarious. And we look back and we're like, how are you that fat? I swear I will send you a picture. It's amazing. I mean, it's so adorable, like you said, but like, and then my daughter's like tiny and skinny and you never know.
I think of all the times Nicole has referenced fat baby wins, you're the first person to actually ask her why they were called fat baby wins.
People normally just go with it.
Oh, I question everything.
So besides knowing how you started and got started and figured out really kind of what your zone of genius was and how you wanted to create everything, what actually inspires you on a daily basis to keep going forward with all of your dreams and goals?
Ooh, that's a good question. Gosh, a lot of things. Well, I mean, I have my, I call them dream makers and deal breakers. And some of my dream makers are big. You know, my husband's like, I would like to be this career and move this forward. And I was like, I want to be on the cover of business magazines. You know, I want to be in this list. And I used to want to be on the 30 under 30, but now I want to be under the 40 under 40. So that's a goal. You know, I want to be the voice of a Disney character. All these things that involve me building, you know, for a lack of a more refined word, an empire. And some people don't have those dreams. You know, some people are, I want to have enough money so we can go on an awesome vacation every year. Or I want to be able to, you know, say that I've made this thing and put it out into the world. So whatever your big, you know, your goals are, like, you don't have to want to build an empire like me. Like, and believe me, don't try to if you don't want to, because it's hard. But that drives me. Like, every time I have these wins, I go, yeah, I'm, like you said, it's like the, you know, the FBWs,
yeah.
That I'm like, awesome, I'm getting a little closer. Like, I was, okay, let me put it this way. I was talking to, you know, a girl here in San Diego, and we were talking about having a more local presence and that kind of thing. And we were talking about the podcast, the Boss Mom podcast. And when we started, the people I brought on the podcast are now different than the kinds of people I'm trying to get, because as I get bigger and bigger people, my mind, the way it works, immediately goes to the next bigger set of people. So I was like, yeah, I'm looking into 2017 and I'm going to try and get Jessica Alba and Kristen Bell and those kinds of people on the show. And maybe, you know, like Amy Porterfield and the bigger people. And she's like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, it's funny, because if you had asked me that last year, like it wouldn't have even been in my mind. But as we get bigger, like those things open up to me. So it's very motivating for me to get to that point in my mind where I've hit the next level. And I can look at what the finances are coming in and what I'm able to do. Like, I've set up this week so that I can cook all day Thursday to make my son stuff for a birthday party at school. And we're taking a half day on Friday because him and I are going to go to a movie together for his birthday. And I have created my business in that way. And I'm now in my business where I can give myself that time. All of those things are motivating me to see where's the next notch I need to go up to. Ooh, I'll do a reference. Does anybody watch Arrow? Am I the only person that...
No, I watch Arrow. I haven't started this season. I don't even think the season has started yet.
No, so you don't need to. All you need to do is watch the intro. You know how he has this thing without a shirt on and he's all hot and sexy and he like uses his body to like work out to like move the bar up to the next one?
Oh, yeah.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, Ryan, my husband, please learn how to do that. Just get the bar. We'll put it in the house. We'll move all the kids' toys away. Just do that one. I don't know what even muscles it works out, but it's amazing, whatever it is. But that's the bar. We want to be a roundabout way to tell you my point. You know, there's a bar that each time it moves up to a notch, it's extremely motivating for me to see that notch. Because not because it's motivational, like, yay, I it's a win. It's because it actually changes the way my brain works. It actually changes the way I think about what I charge people, the kind of people I can talk to and connect with, the kind of circles I can go in. And the more you recognize that those notches are not just motivational, they're actually mind changing, the more motivational they become to hit those notches. That was a really roundabout way to tell you.
I understand what you're coming from with the Arrow scene too. Me and my husband watch that show, and every time the scene comes on that it happens in the beginning, he just looks at me because he knows I'm drooling, because it's just
wonderful. Pretty sure that's the whole reason why the show has been as popular as it has, just from him not wearing a shirt.
Most of the time. Most. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's
true. More shows should be shirtless. Just throwing it out there. I think a world would be a happier place if more people just didn't wear tops.
Yeah. There has to be a requirement, though, because there's some people where it's just like, put it back on.
No, but there's something freeing about it. You know what I mean? We may not like drool over it, but there's something freeing if, you know, like you just, I don't know. I feel like there's something liberating about it that everybody, even if you're not cut, should have the opportunity to be liberated by. And why do you think people over in Australia are so nice? Nobody wears tops over there.
No, they barely wear anything, in all honesty.
We literally were on the beach for our honeymoon and we're like, how is everybody hot here? Literally everybody. Everybody's attractive. Every single one of them on the beach. Nobody had tops on, men or women. And we're like, Like, I'm impressed. This is amazing. This is the most concentrated amount of attractive people I've ever seen.
So even though we're a little off topic, to bring
it. Sorry, I have a tendency to do that.
To bring it, it's okay. But just to bring it back to the opening scene of Arrow in the sense of what you were saying, those mindset shifts of knowing that the opportunities that you can go after are just bigger and get you closer to that end goal as you're going up the ladder or whatnot, it actually shifts it in a way where there's no more challenges or problems that you have to solve. It's just the opportunities presented in front of you. And what can you go after? Because just like you said, if you were asked last year how many guests or what type of guests you'd have on your podcast, it wouldn't be that same answer. But it's because you're seeing the opportunities as you're growing and reaching those fat baby wins.
Yeah, I think if there are challenges, it's a space challenge, which is, you know, I've just run into this where we're trying to do meal prep and figure out more meal prepping in our life because I'm a horrible, horrible person in the kitchen. And I used to love to cook and now I just don't. It's very stressful for me and we don't know what we're going to eat the night that we're going to eat, basically. So we're trying to do this. And I said, you know what? Sunday doesn't work for us. Why don't we do Mondays? Like I'll just carve out time on Mondays and I will go shop on and like do the prep on Mondays. And my husband was like, well, can you do that? Like you work a lot. And I was like, well, I better figure it out because this is important. And I need to look at my business and say, how am I fitting in this space? And what am I doing? Because I think the tendency, and I do this a lot, is I see the notches and I get super pumped and my brain goes, oh, well, I didn't realize this was an opportunity and I could get here, but now I recognize that I can. And then I just have to, that mindfulness coming back to be like, okay, don't stay up till 2 a.m. Like you obviously want to be present when your kids are there and hang out. Like you need to eat healthy and work out and do all those things. And if you don't want all of that to seem overwhelming, then I better figure out how I'm going to fit it into space. So it becomes a space challenge where you get so excited about this one thing going on in your life that you dedicate and dedicate and dedicate to it and then find that all the other places lacking. And it just, you have to be conscious of, you know, put it in your calendar to be like, assess my life every 2 weeks. Am I happy with what I'm spending my time on? Am I overworked? Am I exhausted? Or am I having, you know, am I stressed out and yelling at my kids or, you know, and I wasn't before, like just do a quick check-in. And that helps me make sure like I'm using my space appropriately. And then I'm also making sure the mindset shifts about what I can do aren't changing my mindset shifts about what's important to me at home as well. Cause that can absolutely happen. It's happened to me before. And so I always got to consciously make sure have you ever heard the saying, love isn't looking at each other, it's looking in the same direction. Like I constantly have to make sure that my dreams in business aren't overshadowing my ability to look in the same direction as my husband and my children and my friends and my family and all those things. So I got to make sure all of that aligns. Otherwise, the mindset shifts actually can be detrimental, I think.
It sounds like you allow yourself grace in those terms of reflection when you're trying to figure out how to make everything work in the space that you currently have and then figuring out what needs to happen to either make that change for the best for you or figuring out what needs to go in order to make sure that everything is aligned like you just said.
Yes. Although if by grace you mean like crying sometimes. My version of grace is much more gritty and unattractive than the word grace perceives. But
well, I mean, if that's what you need to do though, that's grace for you. Like grace is different for everyone else. So like, I'm not saying like you have to give yourself grace and just relax and be calm and peaceful. If grace means you need to have an ugly cry, by all means do it. That's how sometimes I get my best breakthrough moments is just allowing myself to actually cry it out and really be ugly and just kind of lay it out all on the line.
I do. Good cries are great.
Yeah.
They make me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. Just feels good to get it all out. Just turn on the notebook. P.S. I love you. Something just ridiculously sad. Let it out.
Oh, yeah. Titanic.
Oh, my gosh. What's the one my husband was just watching? And I was literally like, I cannot watch this movie. It's the World War II one with Tom Hanks.
Oh, Saving Private Ryan?
Saving Private Ryan. He turned it on and I was like, uh-uh. I can't handle that. I've been crying in like 2 seconds. I automatically know everybody dies. I'm weeping.
That's Dear John for me. Anytime like I walk into a room and someone's watching that, I just immediately turn around and leave.
Oh my, well, but now that I'm a parent, it's gotten worse because, you know, they put on like Cars. And at the end where like the guy shows up, Hudson shows up and it's like, oh, he showed up and he's going to stop and save the old car. I'm in the kitchen weeping. I'm like, what the heck is wrong with you, Dana? And I was like, it's just so beautiful, man. Like, he learned his lesson and he stopped and he helped the person in need. And now, like, everybody recognizes that that was more important. And it's just beautiful. Life doesn't happen that way all the time. And my husband's like, nope, I don't know what you've been doing. Stop it.
It's totally true. I think the hormones go completely out of whack after you have a child and you cry at the smallest of things. And my daughter just made fun of me for this the other day. So my daughter's 7 and we're watching Home, and literally the very end where they're reunited, you know, mom and daughter see
every time.
My daughter turns and she goes, Dad, look at mom. Every time. Tears.
Every time. Tears. Oh my gosh, when he goes and he throws the egg and the spaceship is going to follow, I can't even handle that. I never thought I would. I was like, oh, let's just try this movie. And now it's like one of my favorite movies.
Oh, I know. But it's so funny. I looked at him like, how can I not cry? I'm a mom.
Dad, I know. And they have the slow music and the slow-mo cartoon animations. They just know how to get you.
I thought it was funny. My daughter's like laughing at me in this moment. Look, every time, Dad, every time.
Oh my goodness. But even in business, I'll say, like, when I think you're as attached to things as you are with your, you know, your kids, like, I love my kids so much that I think it makes me emotional about things that involve loving. And I love my business so much that it makes me attached to things where, you know, if I were in corporate America and someone's like, Dana, this thing you did really helped me. And I'd be like, that's great. You know, and now someone's like, Dana, I quit my job because of what you did. And now I can have my own business. Or I was able to send my kid to daycare for a few hours, which makes me like a happier parent. And I can do these things. Or, oh my God, I figured this out and I launched this and now I'm really helping people. Like, those things make me emotional because I'm really like involved in what I'm doing in my business and what I care about. And I think that's great. Like, I think that makes us better people to be truly invested emotionally, like we are with our kids and other things that we love. I mean, it makes me a total sap, but I'll take it.
That's all right. You have to have emotions when you have your own business. If you are emotionless in what you're doing, it comes across that way. And I believe as small business owners, if we're vulnerable and we're open and we're sharing ourselves, we have to let everyone else see that we actually have emotions. Like, we're not the corporate America robot that's just go, don't show emotion.
Well, what fun is that? Honestly, like, every day I get to hang out with awesome ladies like you. You know, I had a client call right before we got on this that was literally like, I think we've discovered we're soulmates. She's like the New York version of me. And I love that. Like, I'm everybody I work with, I want to like take vacations with, because that's who I surround myself with, is people that I get to be me around, and they don't just accept it or tolerate it. They love that part. They work with me because I'm me and because you guys are you. And the more we do of that, I mean, the better, like the happier I am. Like, I find immense joy coming to work every day. Like, it's stressful sometimes. It's a pain in the butt sometimes. You know, there's things that I don't necessarily like all the time, but all of the people I deal with are awesome. And I love that. And that's only because, like you guys so wonderfully said, like, be beautifully you. You know, you've got to be you. The more I'm me, the more I attract people who like me. And it's like, what other world would you want to live in?
Yeah, energy attracts like energy. So as long as you put your true self out there, it's going to bring it back to you in ways that even sometimes you maybe didn't even see you wanted at that point, when you kind of were like, hey, this is me and this is what I want.
And now I feel like I don't know how to not be me. So if I'm ever in situations where I should be more formal, like, I don't even know how to do that anymore. Which is interesting. Like, I was on a summit thing. And I was sitting there and talking, and I didn't even realize it, but I like had my knee up. I was like, oh, I guess this should am I supposed to be not having my leg up on like a videotaped professional interview? I didn't really think about that one. Maybe I should do interviews in a space I'm not used to sitting on my coaching calls.
was fine.
Sure, it was fine. I'm sure nobody minded and everybody loved how casual you were.
I am in fact casual. Well, when you talk about being you and being in the branding and all that kind of stuff that you guys, you know, talk about of who you are and what you're running in your business, I find the easiest way to be casual and comfortable with what you're doing is to be really confident about your decisions. And that comes from planning, from strategy, from figuring out what you really want, from assessing, you know, your day to day and what you're doing and those priorities. And the more you do that, the more confident, like I'm super confident in the decisions I make in my business, which makes it so easy for me to just be me because I'm not questioning myself or what I'm doing. I'm saying, this is what I need. I'm going to go get the resources and the help to do it. I'm going to execute it. I'm going to deal with challenges and things as they come up, but I know what I want. And when you know what you want and you have that confidence, it makes it so much easier to just relax about the other stuff.
It makes it easier to go for it because you're not questioning every little thing that you're doing.
Absolutely.
I think that is a fabulous piece of advice. And with that, I'd like to ask you, what type of advice would you give to new entrepreneurs, people who are just starting out? What are some things you would tell them to help them get started?
Sure. Ooh, okay. Well, one is just jump in, honestly. Like I'm to be so curious, Samantha, how you feel about this, but I, because it deals with branding. Like I think branding is one of the most important things, but I honestly think you have to, you jump in and do one version of like nitty gritty branding to like manifest, create your manifesto, decide what you care about, like those kinds of things, but do the short version so you can just get out there because identifying who you are and what you care about takes time. It takes experience. It takes talking with people. So one, just get out there. And even if you don't have all of the tools and the things you need, just start putting it together. And then two, I think that just early on, volunteer your services. Be really specific about what you want. Like before you're making money, be really specific about who you want to attract in and do like what I did, which I've seen work really well. Say, hey, I want three people. One is like this, one is like this, one is like this, to come in and I'm going to help you do this one particular thing. And it's like a, you know, focus group for you. You help three different people in three different kind of variations to figure out what you want. You're helping people along the way. You're going to get testimonials and you figure out which ones you like. And then you refine and you retweak and you refine and you tweak. And then you bring on people that are paid and you do, you know, so it's, I think the idea that we do all of this stuff behind the scenes and don't go out into the world until we think we've got this thing. When we realize that the world is what helps us realize what we are meant to do and what we're good at and how we interact with people and the kind of people we want to work at. If you've built your avatar, I'm going to do my air quotes. If you've built your avatar and you've never spoken to anybody, then it's probably not the right avatar because you need people to help you understand what it is you're doing and why. So just get out there and do it and recognize that the refining and the altering and the rebranding will come. I mean, we've redone the Boss Mom site 3 times just now, gotten to a space where it feels right. It feels really right. And that's okay because you know, the first couple iterations were the growing pain parts.
I completely agree with that. And I have to say, I think that's one of the things everybody is most nervous about is jumping in and then having to make changes. Oh, I don't want to make changes. But you say you've changed the Boss Mom site 3 times. And I have to say, I honestly can't tell you the number of times I've changed my own. I toss it up to a designer's never satisfied with their own work. But it's come from not knowing what I wanted to do in the beginning or starting, like you talked about, starting with a passion versus a gift and not really figuring out how to meld them together, passion and gift. And so for me, it definitely has been a process. I mean, I started in 2009 and I'm just now feeling like I'm coming into that zone of genius. But yeah, I think that jumping in is definitely, you have to do it because you can't figure out what you do and don't like and who you do and don't want to work with until you've done it and until you've worked with them. And that was, I mean, it's probably one of the biggest mistakes I made was working with the wrong people. Mm. But because I worked with the wrong people, it changed my complete outlook and structure of my business, what I did, who I worked with, everything. And it's been for the better. So I completely agree with jumping in, figure it out, work with people and really refine as you go along, because it's the only way I feel that you can actually get to that diamond in the rough.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I'd like to add on to your advice, Dana, is people are so scared of change sometimes, but change is constant in your business. Like from where you started to where you're going to end up, the road isn't straight and narrow. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, and you're going to change who your avatar is over time, because who they are when you started out is not going to be where you're going to end up when you retire or sell the business or whatnot. It's always going to be changing. And one of my favorite sayings from working in the tech sector for a couple of years is iterate and implement. You iterate and then you implement and then you iterate and you implement. And it's the cycle of just changing it, seeing how it does, and then tweaking and making changes as you go along instead of trying to always be perfect. Because if you are striving for that perfection, it's never going to happen. So just be comfortable with being done, changing it if you need to, and moving on to the next thing.
Yeah, that's why I love the correlation between business and babies. It's like just when you get used to a routine, something's going to change. Someone's going to teethe, something's going to happen. And I don't care how many books you've read or what business school you went to, when you start your own business, you have no idea what the hell you're doing. And that's okay, because neither does anybody else, you know? And it's all through experience that we find the right resources, do the right things, do the wrong things, learn from them, figure it out, and continue to move forward. And I think the key is you got to know what you're going after. You got to know what you want and what you want to achieve. Because if you're really crystal clear on that, then you're going to get it, because you're going to figure out how to get it. You're going to work hard to do it. And if you're willing to do that, work hard to do it and find the focus you need, then success will be yours.
Because you were talking about kind of your big goals and dreams and how, you know, building an empire is difficult. But one of the things that I want to actually know about you is, what actual Disney character would you like to be the voice of?
That's a good, well, I would like to be the voice of a Disney character that doesn't exist, because it's going to look like me and, you know, be awesome, of course. But my favorite past one is Belle from Beauty and the Beast. I mean, that's just awesome. It's classic and amazing. And she's like the perfect culmination of someone who's smart and ambitious and just doesn't take crap from anybody else, but is also caring and loving and compassionate. She's literally like the perfect human being ever. And she's adorable and awesome. And she falls in love with somebody for who they are and not for what they look like. And I appreciate that about her. So it's like, gotta pick Belle for sure. But then I sing, I know the Disney songs to everything that ever existed, I think. So.
Oh, I love it. Plus her outfits. I mean, who wouldn't want to like be drawn in that gorgeous golden dress that she comes out in and pedals all the time? I mean.
I know. I also love Mulan, just to let you know. Is it one of my other faves? Because, yeah, she's just, you know, she's just out and like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to save my dad. I'm going to find out who I am and what I care about. You know, you talk about discovering what you need in your business and the focus that you want, what you want to get to. Hers was, I don't know what that is. And she fell into trying to save somebody she loved to, you know, that it took that to help her realize who she was and what she cared about, what she was good at. And it was very outside the norm of what was obviously available and acceptable at that time. I think it's a beautiful testimony to how a lot of us live our lives. We fall into things that we either have the opportunity to help keep us down or to leverage them as ways to learn who we are and what we like. I could literally talk all day about Disney strategy.
I was actually going to say, we should probably just do another podcast on Disney characters and how they apply to business. I'd love to know your ideas on Frozen and Elsa. So
don't even get me started.
Okay. I have a twist on this question. So you talked about how you want to be one that hasn't been created yet. So who is your Dana Disney character? If you created her.
Oh, if I created her. Oh, that's tough. I'm terrible at story writing. If I had to create a character for me, I think it would be, somebody who is like super ambitious. Like it would, cause I'm thinking of like the new age stories too that they put out, right? It'd be someone who's like super ambitious and it, you know, is trying to make it in the world and that kind of thing. And is like finding her way. Like it would be a journey story of like there'd be hiking involved and like traversing land and things like that. I would want long hair because I don't ever have long hair because it just never works for me. So I'd want to have long hair. And I would want to do something in the movie where I get to twirl around with my arms open and, like, you know, in the cartoons where they look up in the sky and they like sing in a circle and like every Disney movie ever done, like that's, I want that to happen.
See, now when you say that, I'm thinking like Maria from The Sound of Music, like spinning around on the Alps.
Yes, could be. It could be.
Just in cartoon version.
Just in cartoon version, yes.
Mm-hmm. With long hair, because she doesn't have the long hair.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, well, that wraps it up for today's episode. For more show notes and awesomeness about Dana, you can visit us over at beautifullyboldpodcast.com. And to continue the conversation, jump over to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast group. You can find that by going to beautifullyboldpodcast.com/Facebook. Thank you so much for joining us. It was so much fun today, Dana.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Bye.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.